Word.
Hey guys, this is Justin and Tony with Technology Rocks.
What's up?
On a hey guy, God bless it. That was loud.
You're welcome.
This hey guys episode is going to be a little bit heavier than normal. There was a situation that happened online with Michael's Hi-Fi Audio Adventures for Audiophiles YouTube channel. And there was an awesome video that he did called Hi-Fi Theft. And when he did this...
Yeah, and that was actually a very risky video for him to post. But at the same time, I do agree that it was something that needed to be said.
Right. No, and if you backtrack on some of the videos that he's done, he does really high-end equipment reviews and should you be buying this and is this worth it and things like that. And it's a very neutral style of review. But this was one of those where right after he posted the video, there was a bunch of, again, what I called forum keyboard warriors, whatever.
There's, you beat me to it. I was about to say that.
I was going to say, just forum warriors that think that you know, they know.
You know, a lot of people are very, opinionated when it comes to typing it out. You know, things that if you were to get them face to face, they'd be, they probably wouldn't be so.
Well, so this particular video got him banned off of several popular forums where it was classified as clickbait. And what it was is he had it out with another reviewer. And, you know, after kind of looking at the situation before it got pulled down, this other reviewer, we're just going to call him David, just totally ripped this guy on the forum and then eventually reported to admins. Or maybe he is an admin, I don't know. He claims that he's actually a reviewer. I'm not sure about that or not. I'd have to go down the rabbit hole on this. That it's just one of those things where maybe it struck a nerve with him because he's guilty of it. I don't know. And that's the thing, is a lot of people will call you out because either they can't afford it, they're guilty of it, they can't do this, they can't do that, you know. And I'm just going to jump right on board with Michael here. Mike, we totally agree with you. I don't know if you go by Michael or Mike. You know, we haven't talked very much, but I'm going to agree.
Mr. M
with Hi-Fi Audio Adventures for Audiophiles. Yeah, no, so we're gonna just jump right in there. But reviewers have a responsibility. You know, reviewers and what I like to call them brand ambassadors, have a responsibility to, even if they don't particularly line up with that.
Yeah, it's
brand.
Like my stance with Kaleidoscape. You know, I can't afford it, but it's still a great product.
Sure.
So, you know, just because I can't afford it doesn't mean that, you know, I've got to, you know, downplay it because I can't afford it.
Exactly. And that's what's going on a lot in these forums. There's several different problems that are hurting this industry. And one, I don't know why it is that the home theater hi-fi shops have been villainized and made out to be the bad guy. You know, there are statements online all the time that, well, if you're not giving me 50% off, you're getting, you know, that person's getting ripped off, which, you know, basically tells me if you're not taking food off your table so I can outfit my theater room, then, you know.
But it goes even deeper than that, though, because, you know, what people need to understand also is those numbers that we're giving you when you ask us the price on a product, those are usually prices that are given to us that we have to adhere to from the manufacturers.
We get audited. You know,
yeah, like they come and they check our books and they're like, oh, well, why did you discount this? Or, you know, why did you do this or that? And, you know, we have to have answers for that. You know, so... You know, you can actually lose your vendorship of a product if you're doing discounting for no reason.
And there are vendors that just pop up into your shop and they will audit your POs. They will say, hey, I need to see the PO for this person, this person, this person, this person, this person. You know, we're not saying you did anything wrong. It's just kind of a surprise thing. And you have to show them. And if you don't show them, it's not like a don't breathe into the monitor test thing when you're on the side of the road. It is, if you don't, and you can opt out of not showing them,
but it weighs heavily against you.
Why would you? why would you opt out of not showing them? So that's the thing is we get audited by that, ladies and gentlemen. So it's things like, you know, no, it's not because I'm going home to an Uncle Scrooge piggy bank and swimming in the coins, which
Don't lie.
Which makes no sense, by the way. It makes no sense, by the way. You know, it seems like that would just hurt a lot to do that. But anyway, but that's the thing is we've been villainized because we're making a living doing what we love to do. And by these forums, by these reviewers. And by the way, some of these reviewers get paid a lot of money to review this stuff, whether it's being neutral or not, I don't know. I'll let you be the judge of that. So, but that's the thing is this guy was called out on that forum and on a couple different forums as being, oh, this is just clickbait. And no.
Way he put it was like, you know, like, I'm just going to say this, you know, I'm not, you know, he wasn't trying to like, in my opinion, like upset anyone or anything like that. He was just saying stuff that normally we all try to stay away from because we're afraid, or maybe not necessarily afraid is the best word, but you know, we're unsure of how people are going to react to that.
So I'll tell you this, you know, I've watched his YouTube videos. I did watch the video in question, and I'm telling you, having done one video thus far that was absolutely exhausting when you do that, it's a lot of freaking work, guys. You know, it's a lot of work to produce it. It's a lot of work to go edit it after the fact. It's a lot of work to go to do the graphics and artistry behind it and the lighting and the microphone. You know, it's a lot of work to do those types of things. So it's just not something but the topic at hand was there is a huge problem in this industry, and a lot of it is vendors fueling the monster that's going to eventually eat them and put them out of business. And the other half of it is in the entitled, the people that think, oh, well, you know, you only deserve to make 10 points, or you only deserve to, we call it margin or points or whatever you want to call it. We're old. So, but you only deserve to make 10% on that purchase but why? Well, that devalues the product.
There's the thing that, you know, we kind of joke around about all the time where we'll, you know, look at somebody and just be like, hey, man, well, you know, you're the one driving a McLaren, you know. Yeah, I want to get to that level.
You're the one with two McLarens in the garage.
We're just trying to get to that same point.
And two Porsches in the car. Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, hey, brother, you know, how did you get there? Do people come to your office and say, hey, I want a better deal? You only are allowed to make 10% of what you're selling, you know, and that's not fair. It's not fair for people to ask for it. It's awkward when people ask for it. I am not against giving better deals. Typically, I don't do it on the equipment side. I can do it on the labor side of things.
But even on the equipment side of it, you know, there are what we used to call, when I worked at the garbage company, we used to do what's called small concessions. So, like, if I was to sell a mixer and a turntable, you know, I could throw in some cables or something like that. And, you know, given a few things and all of that, you know, is easier than just discounting stuff.
Right.
Because just discounting stuff, once again, goes back to what we talked about earlier.
Give the mouse a cookie. Yeah.
Well, it's not even that. It's that the manufacturers, when they audit our sales, will look at us and go, why did you do that?
So there's a particular methodology that is allowed by manufacturers, and it's not a common thing. However, we do it here quite a bit because we have a lot of foot traffic. We have a lot of clients that come in, or potential clients that come in, that are looking for what I call starter systems, that they just, can't get their bearings of where they want to be and what they want to spend. Maybe it's a college kid that just wants a stereo system, stuff like that. So
that's where some of our trade-in stuff helps them out a lot.
Well, right, but it helps us out too. So what I typically do on that is, you know, say you're upgrading your projector and you trade in your projector, you know, we give you a few hundred bucks off the other one as a trade, and then we sell it for that same few hundred bucks. So it's not like we're breaking a lot of the rules. It's just we're moving sideways in a linear fashion on that, you know. So we don't do it all the time, you know, and yes, when we do get audited, we get questioned, hey, what was this all about? Say, okay, well, you had this product. It's always listed. Here's the product. Here's the serial number.
And if we have like valid reasons for doing discounts, you know, they'll understand that. You know, because sometimes you'll have an open box unit where somebody got something and they didn't like it. Yeah. They wanted to upgrade, or they wanted to sidestep over to a different brand because they just didn't like that brand. So then we can take that open box. We can discount that because at that point, we're not selling you something that is factory fresh at that point.
But I would say, so yeah, exactly. So, and I would say reviewers have a responsibility, and what I call brand ambassadors have a responsibility to the general public, you know, and they carry a lot of weight when they say things. So we have to be very careful with what fires we jump into on these forums.
Also, I mean, we had the brands that we like, you
right.
know,
but I screwed up. I'm gonna call myself out. I screwed up and I called a brand on the carpet on an open forum. And then that brand approached me, and they dropped us. You know, they dropped it. They were like, well, wait a minute. You're supposed to be putting us in the best light. I had said, well, I'll put you in the best light when you deserve to be put in the best light. And it was not my best moment. It was not my proudest moment in that particular realm of things. And then, in fact, some of my advisors were like, dude, what are you doing? You can't go toe-to-toe with a brand on...
Yeah, because, I mean, at the same time... You know,
whether it was true or not,
there's people that like, you know, electrostat speakers, not really my favorite, but you know, I can still sit there and pick out good things about it without just, you know, totally crapping on a product.
Well, right. So, and that's what I'm getting to is, you know, I've even been in the wrong in some of these cases where I should have had a more...
Now, I know the situation you're talking about, and their reasons for how long it was taking to get products didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense, and the reason why...
There's really no point getting into
that. The reasons why the prices were going up on the product made zero sense whatsoever, because we had noticed a genuine trend of quality that was going downhill with this particular product. So, and no, I'm not going to say the name. We've actually patched things up with this particular vendor.
Yeah, we're cool with them again, so yeah, we don't want to mess that relationship up.
I'm not going to do that. And if you know who you are, we love you. No, so it's one of those things where, but I was in the,
see.
But I, a somebody that reviews things carries weight. Even if they disagree with the review, there are certain ways that that particular discussion should be handled because of the weight you carry as an expert. And there's, again, there, I see discussions all the time where I see people literally, it's like, hey, what atmospheric speaker should I be using? And what brand of this should I be using? And
I'm going to tell you at the end, what sounds good to you, man?
Well, no, so I disagree with that part. I just said, because typically if somebody says, hey, what brand of speakers should I be using as my atmospherics? I said, well, I have questions. What brand of speakers are you using for everything else? If you're trying to create a transparent bubble, then by God, match the brand.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that all the time. Also, you know, even back when I was selling mostly PA equipment and DJ equipment and recording equipment, when people started mixing their speaker brands too much, they were wondering why their sound wasn't there. And I had to explain to them, well, each company EQs their equipment differently. So
it's called voicing. They have a different type of, like, you can talk like this, and there are speakers that sound like this, and then there are speakers that sound like this. So,
right. So at that point, you know, I was like, in order for you to truly dial everything in at that point, you have to invest in more equipment to dial everything in the match.
Yeah.
So it's not that it can't be matched at that point, but you have to work a lot harder. And instead of working harder, let's work smarter.
So, Tony, you know that. I mean, you know this about me. I typically stay out of public banter when it comes to dramatic things like this. But this one just hit me in the wrong direction. I mean, I was pissed yesterday. I came in, I was fired up, I was pissed off because
I know I kind of had to, you know, talk you down a little bit because. Yeah.
I mean, I'm standing up right now. I'm not even sitting down right now. That's how pissed off and passionate I am about this particular topic because it is a problem. It is an inherent problem with our industry, and it's going to bankrupt our industry. It's going to literally bankrupt hi-fi shops. And hi-fi shops, if you guys are the ones actually doing this, I'm calling you out. That's what I'm doing because you guys are the ones that are screwing it up. You know, there's a reason why MAP pricing exists. There's a reason why MSRP exists. MAP pricing exists to make MSRP, to make you look like you're getting, to make it look like it's being put on sale because of MSRP. That's why that thing exists. And if you're out there selling this crap for 10 points above or 15 points above, shame on you because you're going to bankrupt all of us. You're going to bankrupt yourself.
Well, I've been noticing this trend happening in this industry, you know, the same as I was seeing it when I was selling musical instruments, you know, the same thing. People would, you know, they'd get a price and they'd take it somewhere else and then that place would beat it and then they'd bring it back and they'd want you to beat that price. And on until eventually it's like, well, you know, I have to... We are a for-profit company, and for-profit should not sound like a negative thing.
Yeah, shame on you for keeping the electricity on and paying for the rent and paying for employees.
To get that equipment, you know, there's a lot to it. You know, there's people that have to receive the gear. There's people that have to place the order for the gear. There's people that have to
take the phone calls. Where's my order at? Or make the phone calls to figure out where your order for the gear's at.
Yeah. So when you look at it and you think that we're just making a huge profit off of things, that's not necessarily the case because there's a series of employees that make you being able to get that gear happen.
Right. Yeah, no, and that's, but again, that was to Michael's point. There's a series of checks and balances where he's right. There are people out there that have no clue how to run a business. There are people out there that don't understand business in general. You know, there was a guy sitting across from me just a few weeks ago that sat right across from me and said, yeah, I'm going to get a, you know, he's been in our store no less than 12 times. He's made phone calls. You know, kept in, there's nothing wrong with this particular type of individual. However, it's still work. You know, it's still, you know, when I can't answer a phone call because I'm catering to that particular person.
Or you're having to take the phone calls because I'm sitting on a phone call for an hour and a half.
Trying to help with the design. Right, exactly. And it's like, oh, well, that's just too expensive. I'm going to go buy an Elite screen. Or that's too expensive. I'm going to go buy a silver ticket. Yeah, and
not hating on you for the different deals because, I mean,
we just want you to understand it. You know, we just want you to understand. And he said something in that point where he said, well, you know, you guys have overhead. That's why you're more expensive. No, we're more expensive because we carry brands like Sievertson and Screen Innovations and Stuart Film Screen.
It all goes to the story about the guy with the hammer going tink, 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 tink.
Right, yeah, no, exactly. And so we carry brands that are experts in that realm. I don't know who Silver Ticket is. I don't know who, I know Elite Screen. I know there's a subsidiary.
Silver Ticket,
EPV.
That's the first time I've ever heard that brand. So.
Oh, they're everywhere. It's like a $300 projection screen. Yeah, no, it's like, how do you compete with that? Well, you don't. You don't compete with it. But if...
Right,
you know,
but also, you know, yes, there are bargain brands out there, and you know, sometimes we start where we start. You know, we also make the reference all the time. This stuff is like a hot rod. You know, what you start out with now is not what you're going to end with. You know, everything can be upgraded, changed, modified. and all of that. But, you know, just remember that when you do get one of those bargain brands, there is sacrifices that you're making.
Yeah, no, there's 100% a trade-off with what you're getting. Now, screens are interesting to me. Screens have always been a dating relation, or marriage, and the projector's always been a dating relationship. You know, the screen's something you're never going to find a buyer for. Just ask us. We've got 5 used projection screens in the back.
Right, and it's one of those things that
screen, please call Define Audio Video. Yeah.
It's one of those things that once it gets built, it's really hard for us to get it out of your home, and taking it apart is not a good idea. Because of the way that the screens have to be stretched and all to give you that nice flat screen that you're seeing.
That's part of the reason behind Technology Rocks, because if you listen to these podcasts, you will get this information. You will, and you don't have to, you know, you're getting information from experts that have built these rooms, that have designed these rooms for the better course of 20 plus years.
And we're answering the questions now that, you know, you would be asking when you come in, but now you're already going to know, and you're going to say, hey, you talked about this in your podcast, so, you know, based on what you said on that, I'm looking for this.
Yeah, no, and so, and if you go listen to the podcast from yesterday, or actually, yesterday, we filmed it yesterday, posted it today, in the home theater series, you know, we talk about the reference connoisseur brands. You know, should you be tiptoeing into that brand if you're not willing to learn how to use that brand?
Yeah, because the deeper you get into that stuff, the more
returns are expensive.
Well, it's not even that. It's more complicated to use that equipment. And if you're willing to learn how that stuff works, great. Or you don't necessarily need to learn how the stuff works. You know, if you're willing to pay an expert to help you recalibrate or retune stuff and all from time to time, you know, then we can do that also.
Well, and that's why those brands have what's called presets. Presets are settings that you can, I like this, save. I like this, save. I like that. And then you name the presets. Movie mode, TV mode, music mode. There's also
some of those already in there.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can sit there and say, oh, I like that, but I need a little bit more of this. So you can use those as a template to create your own presets.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. So that's kind of what we're getting to. But, you know, reviewers, you hold a lot of weight. So just be careful when you just, even if you don't agree with it or don't align with what this person is saying, there's a tactful way to do that. And I did read the statement. No, it's not clickbait. No, it's not this. No, it's not that. It was what he said was valid, and what he said is an actual problem in the hi-fi industry and in the home theater industry. You know, the trunk, there's always going to be the trunk slammers and the white vans and all that stuff. And those guys, you know what? They have a realm and a lane that they stay in. They're not
some of those people eventually become stores.
Exactly. You know? I mean, and they
I
all
know
start
that's where we started out.
Yeah. They all start somewhere and they all get to where they're going eventually. And they all want to be where you are. So, and that's, again, that's why a lot of these brands get pooped on, because they can't be in that realm and they don't understand. Hey, Michael, I'm going to say this. I don't comprehend, $50,000 to $60,000 or $100,000 or $200,000 streamer for music. I don't comprehend that because I haven't been educated in that particular realm. So that's what I'm saying. So I found your review very helpful in that realm, because it's not a wave that I typically surf on. You know, Tony and I are typically designing more home cinema stuff, more large cinema.
Yeah, and then also I'm more of like an analog guy where I work with turntables and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I have over 20 years experience in using that equipment.
But I know we use the Kaleidoscape reference a lot, but you know, we get hit when we start talking about Kaleidoscape. Oh man,
that's a piece of equipment that's awesome. I just wish I could afford
server,
it.
My home media server will do better than that. Well, no, it won't. And I'll go toe-to-toe with anyone that says it won't, because I used to build them. Okay.
Yeah, but at the same time, if somebody's gonna die on the hill with that statement, I'm not going to fight you on that.
Right.
You know, but I would just want to be able to express my opinion on it at the same time.
Actually, they're coming into the office next week, Kaleidoscape, or week after next, I think it is. Kaleidoscape's okay, stopping cool. in to come hang out
cool,
with
that's
going to
so be great because...
Maybe we can get a podcast out of them. I'll talk to Matt and see if we can, you know, we can set something up to where we can, you know, get 15 minutes out of them or so. Because I know typically when they're...
kind of railroad him.
typically when they're coming in, they've got a flight to catch. I know one of them that lives in Houston, but the other one is his boss that's flying in. So that'll be fun. But again, we're just going to jump on board with Michael. You know, we're going to label this episode Houston. Houston, we have a problem because there is a problem in the industry. You know,
and we're in Houston.
No, coincidentally. So, and we do have a problem. You know, there is a problem that needs to be addressed. Will things like this correct the problem? Probably not. Guys are going to do what they're going to do to sell it for, you know, you're going to sell, you know, 15 widgets at 15 points and make what you would one of selling one of them. So, and there's nothing we can do to stop you from doing that, you know, and eventually vendors get involved and brands get involved. And when there's enough complaints about it and they get cut off of those lines, there's been a lot of people, you know, local that have been cut off of different lines because of things like that, you know, and thank you for that. You know, that's all we can say is because there is a truth to that. But, you know, manufacturers, they're not research and developing this stuff for fun. Kaleidoscape is expensive because it's a very well-made product. Yes.
They fought very hard to become
the
force that they are.
You know, there's a reason why Zapedi has gone out of business. There's a reason why Zedoo is probably going to hit that same realm with the media server thing. Every disc ripping device that's been made to de-copyright and de-encrypt movies and whatnot has gone out of business. Every one of them. Every one of them. And there's because it's against the law. You are breaking copyright code. You are violating that FBI agreement, and that machine is
breaking
the law.
Which always just confuses me on why. CD duplicators and all are so easy to get, and nobody battles that at all.
No, nobody battles CD. Nobody do well, and I don't know why. It's a very different realm of industry.
I've gotten a CD here and there from people and all, but I mean, when you're talking about that, you know, in that industry, they're like, oh, well, it's whatever.
Well, to Michael's point, there's a
movies, it's. You know, movies are like, oh, my God.
Well, they're $100 million to produce, you know. And if you give that out to 100 of your friends or 1,000 of your friends or 300 of your friends, you know, they're losing money hand over fist on that type of behavior.
Right.
But that's the thing. When people talk about Kaleidoscape, yes, Tony, I can pop the top on a Kaleidoscape and I'm going to see a Western Digital red drive or purple drive underneath there. Well, you know, those things are only $50 a piece. You're right. They are only $50 to $150 a piece for a certain amount of terabytes, but it's the de-encryption.
I was about to
it's
say
the
it's
copyright
all the
protection HDCP software that entity had to pay for to get the files.
Yeah, there's definitely like way more to it. It's not
them building a media server and overcharging for it.
They have equipment that's doing a lot of stuff through the player itself.
Yep. And they're monitoring it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that it's got to do in order for you to be able to watch those movies. So, you know, I hear what you're saying about the hard drives, but at the same time, it's not about the hard drive itself.
It's
actually
what
the player,
what it took,
what
to
it
do
has
it
to do.
Yeah, what it took to do it, and what it takes to stream multiple movies on the same hard drive at the same time. And there's a lot of different factors in form factors that go into it. No, this isn't a QNAP that somebody slapped together in their garage and said, okay, this is $10,000. Where you, yes, I know you can build a QNAP RAID drive that has direct output in HDMI. It's a QNAP X50 or something, used to X51 or whatever. Anyway, you can hook that directly into your system and watch your movies right there. And then you can create a Plex server on it and watch your movies all over your house. See, I know how to do all of that. But no, it's not the same quality. It's just, it's
yeah,
not
I mean,
the same
if you,
quality.
If, if you're willing to accept that there is a quality difference, you know, it's okay to use that other equipment if that's what you're happy with. But, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say a Hyundai is the same as a Lamborghini.
Have
it's
you
just
seen
not
the price of a Hyundai.
No, but what I'm saying is, it's like you're you know, at that point, it's like, well, it's two cars,
right?
You know, but you know, I'm not, you know, a Chihuahua and a Great Dane are not right. the same thing.
But to Michael's point, you know, this guy was saying, well, I can take the parts that are inside of that and build a media streamer for, you know, $1,000 and. To
you
his
can
point,
Frankenstein a lot of
to
stuff.
To his point, I can build something that somewhat behaves like a Kaleidoscape for about $1,000.
But it's not going to be the same
file. It's not the same file. It's not the same quality. You're going to have to spend the time to use make MKV or Bytecopy or one of those de-encrypting softwares
to be able to get
that
it.
Rip the movie. It's still not the same rip. It's not the same thing.
Also, you know, this is one thing that you taught me that I didn't know. Is like the movies that you get, that disc, it's not reading the same as like a needle on a record where a needle just moves across it. Those chapters are all over the place intentionally.
Yeah, no. They scramble them for that reason.
It's all scrambled and
Stallone actually did that. Sylvester Stallone started in his film company started doing that. There was a copy of Expendables, I think it was Expendables
3?
Whichever one had Wesley Snipes in it. It was 3.
Yeah, that's the one.
There was Expendables 3 before the Abomination Expendables 4 was made. Expendables 3 Amen. Was released, yes, and somebody leaked it on the internet, and it was a full production leak, like a high-quality production leak. And since then,
like movie studio quality.
Oh, yeah. He started really cracking down because it was out 3 weeks before it was supposed to be in the movie theater. So and then I think the next one to jump on board was the Divergent series. I used to call them Detergent series, but the Divergent series and then the Hunger Games
series.
Kind of
like Pandemic?
Yeah. If you started trying to do that stuff, then you would find out real quick that usually you'll see an EXE file or something like that, and then you try to do that file, and then your movie will all of a sudden jump into different places.
Yeah, Sylvester the story Stallone, doesn't make sense because it's all over the place.
It's like Pulp Fiction. Yeah, no. And then the on the Sylvester Stallone front, he did it to where director commentary would come on in the middle of the movie. Like right in the middle of the movie, director would switch the audio track to director commentary. And he's done that since John Rambo was out on DVD. So,
well, you know, and there's different things, you know, through the movie and music industry that's had to be done, you know, so that the artist, whether they be an actor or a singer or a guitarist, you know, or whatever, you know, they're getting protected on their art form.
Yep.
You know, because, you know,
why do you think concert tickets are $1,200 now?
Well, I was going to say, you know, I was going to take my son to go see a movie the other day, and for me and him to go watch Ghostbusters, and, you know, you got to get the drink, you got to get the
candy,
the popcorn,
you
gotta
get
the candy.
All that.
And even with my membership discount, it was still going to be $70. And that was during what's called the matinee time.
Jeez.
Where that's the discounted time. It would have been over $100 for just me and him if we went later on in the evening.
Yeah, no. So that's what we'll say is, yeah, just because you can build it cheaper doesn't mean that it's the same thing and cheaper. You know, things have to be paid for. To Michael's point, research and development has to be paid for. The engineers have to be paid. The guys that are actually making the product has to be paid. Everybody has. Yeah, the person that's doing the artwork for Kaleidoscape, most of that metadata is scraped off of. It's already on the file anyway.
Yeah, a lot of that's already there.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you do the movie, was, you know, during the movie production process, there's a part that a lot of people don't know about, but if you watch in the credits, you'll see storyboard, and that's like where somebody like myself is sketching out, you know,
shot
scene by
for
scene.
Shot what they're supposed to be making. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying is And when you say, oh, I can build that for $1,000, well, yeah, you can, but it's not the same thing. And so stop it. You know, that's, there's no reason to be saying things like that. And especially if you're a reviewer, especially if you're somebody that's getting paid to do that, and you're one of the lucky ones that's out there, you know, running all around YouTube and all this stuff and getting paid to be in people's cinemas and stuff like that to review that stuff. There is no room for that type of behavior toward another reviewer. And no, I don't know Michael. I don't know him. I've had two conversations with him back and forth on messaging and things like that, but it strikes a nerve with me because this is my pond. This is the industry that I work in. And yes, there's a problem on both sides of this equation. There's a problem with the dealers. There's a problem with the people that are buying it. And there's a problem with the vendors that are allowing it to happen. There's a problem all the way around, full circle. And this could be course corrected. However, most people say, well, the vendors don't care because they get
and
their...
Justin is deep. Deep into his soapbox.
The vendors don't care because, you know, they make their margin as soon as somebody like us buys it from their warehouse, you know. But you should care. You should care because you should care that your subwoofer is being sold for $500. You know, you should care that your Kaleidoscape is being sold for a few thousand bucks. You know, you should care that all that stuff is being lost in translation. So,
and, you know, I've seen that also where it's like, you know, people are discounting stuff not to get a deal, but sometimes it's even to steal a deal from another retailer.
Oh, and that happens all the time. Yeah. No, they're
not discounting sometimes to give you the better deal. They're discounting it to keep the deal from...
Well, and
another,
this goes for
another
all
retailer, and
local business.
It's not always malicious. Sometimes it's just, you know, they need the deal.
Yeah. No. And the thing about it is this type of thing affects small businesses in a massive way. When you do a return on a small business that's already ordered the equipment and it's sitting here waiting for you, and you do a return, that hurt. That's why most small businesses like us do not have salespeople. They have designers. We want to make the right decision. We want to help you make the right decision the first time, as opposed to, you know, hey, let's try this. Nope, I didn't like that. Let's try that, because
right,
we're stuck with
the gear.
I'm not
just running up a ticket. I'm getting you what you want. If we have to change some of the parts on that hot rod, then we will.
Well, and that's why people like Michael and Youth Man and all these other guys that are out there, you know, Theater Dude, you know, Chris over there down south, you know, that's why those guys are important, because, you know, they are weighing in heavily. No, most of them aren't being paid by manufacturers. See, that's another misconception, is you're getting paid by YouTube, but they're not really getting paid by manufacturers.
The
now,
manufacturers may
grease
and
them
not
a little
always,
bit. Yeah.
But not even that. That wasn't even going to go there. I was going to say, you know, sometimes like a manufacturer will send them a product to review.
Right.
But they don't give that to them. They still have to return that product back to them.
Right.
Sometimes, not always. But most of the time, it's, you know, it's like, hey, check out our product. Tell us what you think. Good or bad. You know, we're not looking for you to sugarcoat something. Tell us if it's good or not.
Yeah. No, I agree with it. I completely agree with that. And, you know, as somebody that's new in, I would say, the feathers are still, you know, down feathers and still slimy new to this particular type of industry that has actually worked out really well for us, you know, over 500 now, 520 or 530 listeners now. So it's one of those things where we are new at the game and we are scrappy. We've always been scrappy to our own demise in some cases when it came to some manufacturing brands. That's my fault, not Tony. You know, because I draw the line in the sand. You know, it's just like, I know I'm not gonna put your equipment on my floor if it's gonna be sold at 80% off somewhere, even by you. So it's just, I can't allocate that type of floor space, you know, just for that type of vendor. But, you know, but there's times and places for those vendors. You know, Emotiva is a great vendor, you know, and Klipsch is a great vendor. You know, they make good product. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, and they've chosen...
Sonos is a good one, but there's...
Sonos is an amazing vendor, you know, and they... A lot of people poop on Sonos because, oh, well, they direct mail my clients and things like that, you know. I've sold Sonos...
That's an unfortunate thing, but, you know, it is what it is. You just got to kind of take that.
Well, I've sold Sonos in this area when T.O. Perry used to rep them. God rest his soul now because he just passed a couple days ago. So... I remember that being a grassroots, you know, the Connect was called a ZP120, you know what I mean? So anyway, we'll get off our soapbox. I'm sorry, this wasn't a fun, hey
need
guys.
Need me to get you a ladder?
Hey guys episode. If the mic gets any taller, I may need one. this was a kind of a hey guys episode that wasn't as fun as it usually is, but Houston, we do have a problem, you know, supporting. If you want to support local, we applaud local. You know, there are wine bars out there and fitness studios out there and things like that that are going up against these juggernauts that need your help, and we don't need to be cannibalized. There's enough business out there for all of us. We don't need to be cannibalizing our own industry, and that's what we're doing. You know, that's what people like that are doing. And there is, it is hi-fi theft. It is, you know, theft in general when some of these guys, Silver Ticket, or some of these guys are going to Alibaba.com and buying 1,000 screens at $100 a pop and then selling them
popping their name on it.
Popping the name or having the name popped on it for them and getting $500-$600 for them, you know, a piece for them. You know what? And they're just making donuts too. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's just, you know, no... I'm not going to apologize for selling and providing quality product. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to apologize for saying, you know, but in Michael's situation, what that reviewer should have done is said, hey man, let's have a phone call. Explain to me what you're talking about instead of crapping on him in a freaking public forum. That's why I have to stay off forums. That's why I can't be a moderator for him. You know, I get asked to be a moderator quite a bit, and I'm like, I can't do it. Because otherwise you'd have no posts.
That goes back to our rule number three is like those forums, man, they can be good and bad for you. And I lean more towards the bad for you side, but that's just me personally. Because, you know, sometimes those reviewers aren't reviewing a product on those forums with an unbiased opinion.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that's why I say also, if you're going to go to forums, you know, more power to you. But go to more than one forum. Because when you go to more than one forum, you're going to get different opinions based on different unbiased reviews. So with those reviews being unbiased, if you go to multiple forums, you're going to get a little bit more of an education on the product and be able to make a better decision if you're going to use forums to make that decision.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And just be nice. Be nice. If somebody has a basic question, just answer it. You know, you don't have to use a laughing emoji every time somebody just...
Laughing
emoji makes me want to strangle people sometimes.
Well, people ask the questions because they don't know, and it's not because they're stupid. Or because, you know, they just, you know, are making ignorant statements. They're asking the question because they don't know. They're trying to learn. And don't crap on somebody for trying to learn. Answer their question. Or if you're going to laugh, laugh to yourself.
Well, you may turn them off the whole industry in general. You may just because they're like, well, these people are jerks. Why do I want to be a part of that? You know, why would I want to facilitate that? You know, anyway, there's a lots of things to it. You know, we got to jump back into the swamp, but we just wanted to jump in here and kind of as a rebuttal of that. We did have a couple home theater receiver questions. In regard to that, in regard to yesterday's episode, and no, I do not have anything against Reference Connoisseur product. If you see that was just a complete misunderstanding. What I'm saying is if you don't learn how to use it, then you won't get the most out of it. And if you're not willing to learn how to use it and you're not willing to pay an expert to
assist you,
help you use it, then it may not be your jam. It may not be something that you're into. And that's why those particular products get returned in most cases, is because of lack of understanding and lack of...
Which is where those open box items come in.
Which is where the open box items come in, because, you know, Crutchfield has a ton of those things. And again, I've got a good friend of mine that actually works for that. Works for that entity, and he said, yeah, no, it's a hard category to be in, because it doesn't matter how long you stay on the phone with the person. It's just they get frustrated and confused, and they think something's wrong with it, and they end up sending it back.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm going to say at this point hours with a guy about headphones
needing a
preamp. We didn't sell them to him, but, you know, at the same time,
we're
the guy
a dealer
called,
for that brand. Yeah.
He asked a question, and, you know, that's kind of maybe my downfall at some point. You know, if somebody asks me a question, I'm going to try and help them out in any way I can.
Do you think it's because people don't value time in the same way as they value tangible asset? Do you think that has something to do with it?
I think that's part of it, because, you know, that is the same consideration that goes into when I do a painting or a drawing or something like that. If I was to factor in my time, people would be like, stuff is way too expensive, because they don't understand that, you know, time is money, you know.
Yeah.
That used to be a statement that people made that people understood, and now people are like, time isn't money. Money is money.
Right. Yeah. No. And for the experts that are out there fighting the good fight, if you are one of those playing by the rules, shout it out, dude. Let us know. You know, we're all in the same pond. We're all swimming in this together. And we're all trying to, as my grandpa used to say, we're all trying to make donuts. You know, we're all out there making, you know, the donut maker's the hardest working guy on the planet, because he's got to get up at 3 a.m. to make the dough and make sure everything's good to go for the 6 o'clock donut rush, you know. So that's what I'm saying. And that's all we're trying to do, you know. And there's plenty of time to be nice to each other, you know, and there's no reason to jump into that. So this is getting into redundant territory. General housekeeping, T-Bone's going to be at Comic Palooza May 24th, 25th, 26th, so Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah,
you'll be there.
And that is at George R. Brown Convention Center, right smack in the middle of downtown, across from the
Minute Maid.
Yeah. And also there over in that same area is the soccer field and all.
Yep.
So, man, it's going to be a great event, you know. It's fun for the entire family.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Plus, there's some nightlife activity down there, too. If you go to the website, it's comicpalooza.com. You can kind of check all that stuff out.
Yeah, just a block over, there's a lot of great bars and stuff like that to go hang out at after. That some of the artists you see and all of that during the day, they're going to be hanging out in those. And I've actually met some really famous people, you know, just by going and hanging out at places like that after.
T-Bone will be there. I'll be there possibly. There's been some comic book projects that he and I have been working on, so that'll be fun. We're just going to try to get some t-shirts and stuff down there to get ready to do that animal and attack that. So that was a really bad analogy. So, but anyway. No comment.
I'm giving you the one eyebrow raise.
Yeah,
right
there you
now.
What exactly are we doing to an animal? Anyway, so that was a fun thing. This weekend, our parent company, Motive Fitness, is actually having an 11-year anniversary party.
Oh, right on, man.
11 years. It starts at 6 p.m. If you go look at Motive Fitness, Cochran's Crossing Shopping Center, that's G's there. She's one of the hardest working people that I know, and has just kicked butt over there for 11 years. I'm not biased at all, but I might be a little bit biased. Wink, wink. But it's one of those things where she's local. She's a local business. It's an all-female owned company. Actually, Define Audio Video is a female owned company, believe it or not. So all the things, and it's just, so shout out to the Motive Fitness family. with all that, if you want to go to that party, it's at 6 p.m. This,
hey man, get fit, get motivated.
This coming Saturday. So I call. So when I go take a class there, I call myself an ego boost. I just make everybody look better because I'm so bad at what I do.
Nobody wants to see my gut.
Actually, if you go down there, you may not have a gut. So there you go. So it's, but we just have to peel time for that.
You know, it's actually made me feel good lately because some people are just like, hey, are you losing weight?
You actually have lost quite a bit of weight. So,
now I just need to go take some classes and tone up.
So this Saturday, Motive Fitness anniversary party, 6 p.m. If you want to join, I know they're going to have photo booth there and dance floor and all that fun stuff. So, I think that's it for local stuff. Still nothing with Paint and Sip or Wine and Vinyl. Wine and Vinyl still TBD because of equipment issues. And then the Sip and Paint just doesn't line up for Sip and Paint. Does not line up for April 13th.
I have rubbed off on you.
He is well, hey, it took me the whole 2020 to say pandemic and not
pandemic.
Yeah, it took me literally the entire pandemic to learn how to say that. So anyway, so that's all the local stuff going on. I haven't heard back from Martin Logan yet, so I don't know if the May 15th thing is happening, so I need to touch base with them to see if that's still going to be a thing.
But we might be, you know, in the future, and this is something I'm going to talk to Justin a little more about, maybe doing some of our own feature events where, you know, we take some of the products that we have here in the store and just do some highlights on those.
Yeah, we do showcase them and then have kind of make a party out of it. That'd be fun.
We'll have a jug of water and like some crackers for you to enjoy.
Beanie weenies and chopped up sausage from party trays and because we need to do that. We've been around for almost 7.5 years, almost 8 years now in the storefront location, but 11 years, that's a huge accomplishment. So I know she's had an uphill battle with some former brand stuff and things like that. But she's had to go through, but she's still around. She's still kicking. She's still kicking people's butt every day. 4:30 in the morning and 5:30 in the morning. Trust me, I know. And so it's one of those things.
Man, when I get up at 4:30 in the morning, it's because my knees started hurting. It ain't because I'm about to jump on
a
spin bike.
Plus, it's the only place you can go and pet puppies. So you can actually pet puppies and work out all in the same thing.
Pet puppies get fit?
Yeah, pet puppies get fit. Yeah, that's actually...
There's a shirt idea right there, man.
Pet puppies get fit. Yeah, I love it. I think the last one she did was Positive Vibes, PAW, but in the pot. It was pretty cool. So anyway, check her out at Motive Fitness. That's at 4747 Research Forest Drive, Cochran's Crossing Shopping Center, right around the corner from Trek Bicycles, and I think it's an MMA fighting place. It used to be a karate place, but now it's an MMA place.
Karate.
No, it's MMA now. It's completely changed on that front. So
no Mr. Miyagi.
No Mr. Miyagi there anymore. No, he moved to a different shopping center. He kind of did look like Mr. Miyagi. Actually, he was in the movie Sidekicks, the instructor for the karate.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, he was the...
That was the one about the three kids, right?
Right. That's Three Ninjas. No, Sidekicks was the one that was filmed in Houston. Kind of a cool B-movie type of thing.
I know it. I just got confused with Three Ninjas.
So there's a scene in there in the Chinese restaurant. He's the waiter and that spills hot soup on everybody because they're all enemies around the thing. And so he pretends to spill food on everybody. Anyway, we digress. So Technology Rocks, thank you so much for hanging out with us. This is Technology Rocks Houston. We have a problem edition. And I'm Justin.
And I'm Tony.
And that's a cast. Enjoy your Wednesday today. We'll see you when we see you. And Tony's going to get the last word because that's just what he does.
Last word. Word.